Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is Thursday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, Tiff here with you. Good morning, Dylan. I should just say that because you're here too, even though
thank you, Tiff.
You're behind the glass separated from
good morning.
Us.
There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now we're putting out the good vibes.
I broke my shower door yesterday. I don't think I broke it. I think it was breaking already, and I just kind of helped it come off the rails. I got frustrated with it. You ever get frustrated and with
like
a couple?
How big is this shower door? Like, is it significantly?
It's one of those sliding doors. Not like one that it's not
like
a hinge.
A heavy, like half inch thick piece of glass.
I don't think so.
All right.
So you got mad at it?
No, I didn't get mad at it.
You just said you got frustrated.
Well, I did get frustrated. It was already. It's been something happened to it. I think when the shower got clean last time, it kind of got messed up. And so it's not been working right. So I've been messing with it. And you know how it's got the rollers? It's what, you know, because it's one of those, it slides and it's got like the little roller at the top.
Like a barn door style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, but not quite near that big. Just like the little ones, like the little roller. And one of them came off of it when I kind of was trying to adjust it. I jerked it and it came off. So now I'm looking at shower doors and they're expensive as hell. Like $500. Some of them are $800. I'm like, I'm not paying $800 for a shower door. I can do that much.
Yeah.
I'll buy a whole new shower. I'll just remodel the whole thing before I pay $800 for one door on that thing.
A little bit steep. We don't have a shower door. We just go curtain. You know what I mean? Just go curtain.
Yeah, I have a feeling a curtain would get messy.
It does. But I'm not paying $800 for a shower door. I'm like you.
I'm gonna try to find a way to the redneck engineer this one.
Oh my gosh.
I got to get it working. I'm like, I can't do it like this. Because I took a shower downstairs. Like my basement's built in. And it has a shower, but it's just a curtain. And I get out and there's water everywhere. And I was like, all right, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Come on.
So random. But since you're talking about showers, I have a glass door. But what really bothers me, because I'm in hotels a lot, is that they don't give you a door. There's no door at a lot of these hotels.
I hate those hotels.
And then it's just open, and you get water everywhere.
Yeah, and it also,
like it's open shower, open bathroom.
Like the shower is open,
yeah.
So like the glass is like a what would you call it? Like quarter length or whatever you want to call it.
Okay,
yeah, and it's weird.
It's weird.
I don't like those either. But of course, it's better than the one I had in Vegas. The hotel we stayed in Vegas, the door would close, Tiff, but there was a gap. And so I got out, and there's water everywhere. And I was like,
it's the worst.
So I left like six just soaking wet towels in the bathtub because I wanted to soak it up. I didn't want it to leave the puddle.
I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole, but bathroom design right now is over. It's ridiculous.
Well,
have you seen the big showers that have the tub inside the shower?
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
No, it's amazing.
Like, how does anybody ever get warm in the shower with that, like, that much square?
Paying for that, you probably have heated floors.
Well, I don't need a 12 by 10 shower stall. Like, I mean, yeah, like, I don't need the bathtub inside the shower. That's ridiculous.
Well, to Tiff's point with the open shower, there's a heat issue there, but you're also, they're trying to do too much.
That's my point. That's my point.
Oh, I'm thinking about like your own personal. Like, I feel like if you're paying money to have like the clawfoot tub within the shower and all that kind of jazz, then you've got all the bells and whistles in your house.
Yeah, probably.
You would be cold. But if you're at a hotel with an open shower, you are likely cold unless you close the door and then it becomes a sauna.
I don't know, man. I'm just one of those now where I get it as steamy as it can possibly be in my bathroom, and then I cannot get out of the shower. I'm like, dude, God, I can't turn it off. Can't turn it off.
Dude, I've walked in, like, I don't know how Amy does it. She takes her showers. It's got to be scalding hot because I'll walk in that bathroom, and it will be like a sauna. And I'm like, what is going on here?
I love it, dude. I love it.
It's too much.
Love it.
Cold is also good, too, but that's another story. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Okay, so we know the Falcons have made Michael Penix their starting quarterback moving forward. That news, we talked all about it yesterday, heard from some great callers. Now, Coach Raheem Morris, Michael Penix, you know, they spoke to the media, and Coach Morris discussed why he decided to make the change at quarterback.
The turnovers, you know. You can't turn the ball over the National Football League and expect to win. And we got to stop those things. And that was a big part of it. You know, some other things in there too, Allison. But, you know, obviously the turnovers were the big one, the big factors.
So that was him talking about the change with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins had a total of 9 turnovers in the last 5 games and just 1 touchdown pass.
Yeah, and it was, it was 0-8 before that, the ratio. And he's right. I mean, you can't turn the ball over in the NFL. I think we all know it goes a lot deeper than that, the functionality of the offense. There's a reason there's a reason that there was a 1 on the front side of that 1-9 ratio. It's different if it's a 9-9 ratio, right? But the functionality of the offense is a lot different than it was at the beginning of the year. And I've gone back and forth trying to diagnose it, trying to figure out what happened, trying to figure out if there's ever been as steep of a decline in performance as we've seen at a Kirk Cousins over the last 6 weeks. Can't come up with anything. Honestly,
That's why I have an issue with the folks, the told you so people that hated the signing in March.
Yeah, there's a lot of hindsight.
They're like, oh, see, I told you he was a bum. It was never going to work out. Well, it did. I mean,
it did. 6-3 start the season.
Yeah, the guy was, twice TIFF, the offensive player of the week. I mean,
just took a turn.
It just something went way wrong, and we don't know what. I am, and I know Kirk said it well, it's not confidence. If anything, I'm overconfident. He didn't play. What he showed on the field didn't look like he was playing with a bunch of confidence. It looked like unsure, and there was just so many things that seemed to fail him there at the end for whatever reason. I don't think he's injured, but there's something going on from his brain to his body that's not working.
Now the answer has been to make the change at quarterback. So you just heard from Raheem Morris on the reasoning why, which was the turnovers. But why did he decide to make that decision now?
You know, we had been searching. We've been digging as much as we can dig in order to make things work and try to get things going. And then, you know, just last night came to the point that she wanted to make the decision to make the move. You know, we wanted to play better at quarterback, and we felt like we got a chance to play a little bit better. And if we can go out there and play better at quarterback, who knows what can happen, you know. We played a really well sought out football game when you talk about all phases of our game last week, and we didn't play well at the quarterback position and want to go find out if we can do a better job there.
It makes sense. It's one of the reasons I got frustrated last week, Raheem, when he's like, well, you know, let's not forget we're winning the division. Let's not forget and I'm like, okay, but, you know, at what point is it too late? And I think this is the right time. We mentioned it last week going to Oakland. I understood why he stuck with Kirk because you're thinking, we're thinking, okay, it's a soft landing for Michael Penix to get his first start against, Las Vegas, not Oakland. Keep doing that, as does everybody else.
Yeah, I think I did it yesterday.
I caught Wes doing it 3 times on the broadcast.
He caught himself, too.
I know. But anyway, so I think we all thought of that as like a soft landing spot for Michael Penix to make his first start. And Raheem is looking at it as a chance for Kirk to get back on track. And I understand that. I understand that thought process. I understand everything that goes along with that. But to hear Raheem kind of explain it yesterday and to hear, you know, all the comments and everything else coming out of walkthroughs and Kirk's interviews and everything else, it's never been more apparent that now's the time. And just to see the excitement and talking to people and hearing callers on this station and seeing the coverage that's getting on television, Michael Penix has got he's got the world in his hands right there, man. Like it's go time. I think it's going to be so exciting to see him take the field and see what he can do this weekend.
Yeah, And I also, I don't want to address one thing. I had some people even ask me, like, hey, well, why didn't Raheem tell us in the press conference on Tuesday that they were going to do this? And why did he sit up there and say that he didn't really know yet? Well, there's a really good chance that the decision hadn't been made because they hadn't all sat down and actually talked about it. But the other thing is, you don't go tell the media and the world something, and to me, a good head coach does not tell the world something that he hasn't told the players yet.
Right.
And that and you know there was, they talked about it. Michael Penix said yesterday that he was at Costco when Rob called him.
I know we're going to hear from him in a minute too, because that was pretty funny. But you talked about Kirk Cousins and the whole decision, maybe it happening late into the evening. Well, here's Coach Morris on his discussion with Cousins.
Last night, sometime, you know, come about last night, talk with him, had our conversation, got a chance to sit down. He came in, got through the process, and that was about it. I can't speak for Kurt, whether you can feel the sense that is coming or not, but, you know, I normally don't call him on a day after the game at night, so I'm sure there's some human intuition that thinks like that, that some things could happen. And then, obviously, we've both been doing this for such a long time. We've seen it from both sides of the coin, so we kind of know.
So he called him after the game, I think is what I just...
He called him, yes, the night before. Tuesday night.
Okay.
After the press conference at some point, probably, and obviously before the release, he made both guys aware. And Kirk talked about it, and he was like, yeah, when I saw the call, I figured it was something about what our plan is this week. I don't think you can play professional sports to your 36 years old and start as a kid and play sports all the way to your 36 and not see what's happened to you and how you've played and how it's affecting the team, and get a phone call or not even be expecting a phone call, especially when they've drafted a quarterback in the first round. I think he probably, once he saw the call, he's like, yeah, well, I kind of expected this to happen.
Yeah, he kind of said as much. He was like, look, I figured it might be a conversation like that. And I told you guys yesterday, when you saw Kirk on the sideline and he's adjusting his hat like 15 times in a row as if he cannot get it to fit correctly, you could just see the stress in his hands. Like, he's just grabbing it, adjusting it, shifting it, and you can just tell his thought process is, this ain't good.
It's kind of like that scene in Days of Thunder when Cole Trickle blows the engine because he wanted out of the car, and nothing felt right. He's driving it, and nothing felt right. Everything's all wrong. It's like when you're lost and when everything...
Yeah, can't get it lined up.
Yeah, you just want to be anywhere but that car. And he wanted to be... I really felt like, to your point, with the hat thing, when I watched that, I think he just wanted to be anywhere but that sideline.
Yeah, and on the flip side, that's one of the moments, and that's after the incident, that's one of the moments, though, where the ESPN broadcast keeps cutting to Michael Penix with his helmet on, like halfway strapped up, and you're like, man, he looks ready to go. Like, he looks like he knows something we don't. Yet he never got in, but now's the time, man. Now's the time.
More on this story. We'll hear from Kirk Cousins coming up. He'll also explain what was behind the turnovers. That's next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I was actually shopping. I was shopping with my girlfriend. We was at Costco, and I got the call, and you know, they told me that I was going to be the starting quarterback, you know, for the rest of the season. And you know, as you can imagine, it was some nerves, it was excitement, you know. But I'm just super blessed to be in this position, you know. Super blessed to be on this team for the opportunity, and you know, it was always like I always say, my family, they always say, you know, just trust in God, trust in the process, and you know, go about each and every day, you know, with that trust and belief that whenever it's your time, it's your time. And they called last night and they said it was my time. So, oh man, so I was actually getting a hot dog, and whenever I got the call, I wasn't hungry no more. So,
more than just deals at Costco, you can find out that you're the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. That was Michael Penix on where he was when he got the news. So he did not get the hot dog, unfortunately.
I shop at Sam's Club, and that ain't ever happened to me. So
maybe I should
switch to Costco.
I know. Yeah, Costco's a spot. Not only that, but they're redoing the food counter at the Costco I go to. I'm excited to see what they've got working. What they're cooking with when they open up, man, because you know that Costco food.
Probably just pizza and hot dogs. Times.
Yeah, I know, but that's what they had before. My point is that like now they're kind of redoing things. They got it behind like one of those big curtains, you know? I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait for them.
The only thing that's going to change is what they cook it on, man.
You don't know that.
Oh, I do know that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, dude.
Look, they're moving up. I can scan my Costco card on my phone now at the pump. A lot a lot has changed.
Sam's has been doing that. Like,
whatever. I'm saying Costco's moving up. Okay?
I got anyway. Scan and go at Sam's. I can scan it as I put it in my cart, and then I just do checkout and walk right by the line.
Well, how excited does Michael Penix sound?
Excited.
Not just about hot dogs.
He sounded excited for
Costco.
That hot dog, and then he said he wasn't hungry no more. So he's right, man. It's a blessing. It's a good opportunity. He's got a challenge ahead of him, though. I think he said that multiple times. So the first thing I asked is I looked over at Bo, and I was like, is it offense running out of the tunnel this week, or is it defense? Because he was saying, he's like, I don't know if I'm running out of the tunnel. I was like, I honestly, it would be cool to see the reaction of the fans, but at the same time, like, I almost hope it isn't, because I think that he is, I think he might be a little bit too hyped up when it comes to that.
Yeah. You know
he plays
what?
With a lot of emotion. Remember some of the images from Washington and the national championship game. But he plays hard. And
well, yeah, we went back and watched the game against Texas in the semifinal last year. And I mean, he makes some phenomenal throws. But for all the people that want to tell you that he's not mobile, he can't move. I mean, he looked pretty damn good to me. I saw them even design,
runs.
Yeah, some design runs. And like I said, I think people forget that two ACL surgeries ago at Indiana, we had Kalen DeBoer on this radio show the day after they drafted him, and Kalen said, yeah, I tailored the offense at then based on what we had to use him more as a running quarterback.
Yeah, and what you had at Washington was a Joe Moore award-winning offensive line and three NFL draft picks at wide receiver.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was – I think you could probably let it eat on that. And you know, it was fun going back and watching a little bit of that game against Texas to them and seeing them match up and seeing some of the throws he's making, because it's electric.
And I'm not saying – we're not – don't mistake what we're saying. We're not saying he's going to be Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. All we're saying is the guy can move around, make plays, and if you need – and if they want to bring maybe five or six guys and man up, and they leave – and which means the middle of the field is going to be open – well, this guy could actually step up and out and get 7 to 15 yards because the middle's wide open.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see a couple of things. First of all, when the Giants' defense runs the double A gap mug look that we've seen, that really I think has been what has thrown Kirk off a lot of times. It's just walking everybody up the line of scrimmage, blitzing the A gaps, getting in his face, getting their hands up. What the adjustment is like? What does Michael Penix do? Does he try to get it out in the way Kirk Cousins did and try to throw around arms? Is there design check? Is something different with Bijan? Are you sliding the protection? And are you designing a bootleg, an automatic bootleg check off of that? Like, I want to see something different, because I think what Kirk was doing, I think they were limited in what they could do because of what Kirk was. Now things are different, and obviously you have a little bit more mobility. But it's like I've been telling people, you go from probably having the 32nd ranked quarterback in mobility. Not top 10. Let's just put Michael Penix at mid-pack. It's a massive leap either way from what you were dealing with for the first, whatever, 15 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and I got a beef with some analysts all over the place, including ones on the Twitters who want to say that Zach didn't tailor his offense to Kirk. I actually think he tailored the offense to what Kirk is physically to a detriment of the team. And I think you can see that because they toned it down so much as far as the boots and that kind of stuff. And then you get to when he got in a funk, I think they toned it down even more to what was being asked, to the fact that I think you said it this morning when we were watching some stuff, it became Captain Obvious of what we were doing.
It was. And and here's the thing. I'm going to push back on that a little bit. I don't know if Zach tailored the offense, because I don't know what Zach's offense is supposed to be. Like, I don't know how much of this offense is Zach's offense, and I've said it before. I think this run game is strictly Dwayne Ledford. Like, when you look at what the Rams have done and the offenses that Zach has been a part of, there's different concepts that we have not employed here. And this is what our run game is 85% Arthur Smith.
Yeah, and I think
a
lot of
Charlie Warner sprinkled in.
I wonder how much of that is based on fitting the need that what your players do best, because this offensive line the last 3 years has been a very good run offensive line, and I don't think you wanted to change much of that. And they're picking up steam as they go as well.
Well, the problem is that while we've been a good offensive line and we are ahead of schedule on first and second down, and we're one of the more successful run teams as far as that goes, we still struggle in short yardage and red area. And you would I would like to see that tinkered with. I would like to see some things done differently. What you had last year in Arthur Smith's scheme, when you had the wide zone, you didn't have to tinker with much because you had a mobile quarterback. So when you got in the red area, you could use Desmond Ridder's legs to run these zone reads and these boots and everything else. And that's not what it is this year. It's completely what the pass game is this year is completely different than what the run game is. They fit two completely different offenses. And I'm hoping, as I think we all are, that when Michael Penix is on the field, you're able to finally marry up what those two are supposed to be.
We heard from Raheem Morris. We heard from Michael Penix. Now it's time to hear from Kirk Cousins for the first time since he's benched.
All right, yeah, so Coach let me know yesterday that going to make a change at quarterback. You know, it's pro football, and, you know, there's a standard that you know, I have for myself, that the team has for me, that unfortunately, you know, I wasn't playing up to that standard consistently enough. And so, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, you roll with it. And now, you know, you still get ready, you know, one play away kind of a thing and support Mike and just try to help our team, you know, be able to find a way to win these last three to get in the playoffs. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, that's my focus.
And I wholeheartedly believe Kirk Cousins. That if you've been around him, which I know all three of us have had a chance to be around him, you understand he's a genuine human being. But the reality is, he said it. He is one play away from being in there. And so if Michael Penix had stated earlier, he's like, I was already preparing. The main difference right now in the game planning, like the practice week, to me, and Mike, you can tell me if I'm wrong. But to me, the only difference now is he's just taking the first team reps. He's making the throws that Kirk was making when he was standing, you know, and waiting and doing the other stuff. And as far as the meetings and everything, I think they're going to be, they're both going to be as involved as ever. Now, the problem for me is if Penix did go out, how quickly can you go back to what you were doing?
Well, just to squeeze in a little bit nugget here, listening to Mark Raimondi talking about on ESPN, they live down the street from each other. You're talking about Kirk being kind of that humble guy, kind of that genuine person is what you said. So I have no doubt that he's going to be able to help Michael Penix make this transition.
I'm gonna push back a little bit. There are some things that I think will be different in practice. First of all, one of the biggest drills during practice weeks and training camp and everything else, scramble drill, off-schedule plays. Like when the pocket breaks down and the quarterback escapes, it goes straight into scramble drill for the defensive backs and for the wide receivers. Wide receivers are working back towards the quarterback. The corners and the safeties are trying to cover for an extended period of time. It's one of the main staples of every NFL offense, scramble drill.
Yeah.
Like work towards the sideline. I don't know how much of that you were doing under Kirk, and even if you were doing it to start the year, I would assume that at a certain point you just said, I don't know if this is even worth the repetition.
Yeah, but as far as preparation and like as far as what they're doing in the meeting rooms and all of that, it's not like Kirk is going to take a step back and not be involved. It won't be focused towards him.
No, it won't. Yeah, and you're right about that. Like mentally, when you look at the focus, I think the interesting part for me too is usually we used to go by a two-thirds rule. Like the starter would take two-thirds of the snaps, and the backups would take one-third of the snaps. And that's just how it worked. Like, you just rotate in and out. Many times that we go to practice, and now things were different because Taylor Heinicke was there during preseason. But many times we went to practice, it felt like Kirk took all of them. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm curious to see what that breakdown is and how many snaps he is actually getting this week. I'm not terribly worried about it because I think he could probably use the physical rest. And we know he's going to be mentally ready if he is called upon this weekend.
Yeah, no, at training camp, the ones ran with the ones and the twos ran with the twos and the threes with the threes. Like, there was no intermingling of ones and twos. No. And so that's a very good point. I just think as far as when I hear these guys say preparation, I feel like Michael Penix has been preparing to be the starter the whole time he's been here. He just hasn't been getting the reps. And when they're in the meetings, the conversation is focused on Kirk and what Kirk can do, but he's listening and taking notes. I think that just flips now to vice versa, but they're both preparing to play.
Yeah.
Later on in the show, we'll hear from Kirk Cousins and what was behind the interceptions. But up next, college football playoffs kick off this weekend. We'll give you a preview. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Back with the latest on college football. We got the college football playoffs that are getting underway this weekend. The first matchup, though, starts on Friday, and that is between 10th-ranked Indiana at 7th-ranked Notre Dame. And so that winner will face the Dogs, and that game will go down December 20th. So a lot to look forward to this weekend, but I know this was a matchup that we're all excited about. But I know the other one that I know Bo and I were looking forward to on Saturday was going to be the Tennessee-Ohio State. But yeah. Both of these coaches, though, are at least for I was jumping ahead there to Penn State. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, and I was going to say I'm looking forward to it, too. It's honestly not one of the four that I'm, like, not going to watch. I think, you know, I'll probably be plugged in a pretty good amount. Got to go to the wife's office Christmas party. So hope those guys are ready to watch some football and find a TV because, you know, it's one of those things that can be a sticky situation. But nonetheless, I think I'm going to be plugged into all of them all day Saturday. And I think they're all – I think I expect them all to be good games. Like, that's the thing is even the SMU-Penn State game, you know, that I think a lot of people are kind of, like, thinking, you know, Penn State should win handily. I don't see it that way. So I expect all four of these matchups to be pretty good showdowns. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what upsets could happen, if any, and who comes out of this thing.
I think Penn State can win handily. I don't think they will. I think Rhett Lashley is a hell of a coach. And I can't remember their quarterback's name, but he's playing out of his mind.
You're not Penn State?
No, SMU.
SMU.
And I think – I tell you this, I wonder – because Drew Aller's been banged up a little bit throughout the season. And the transfer.
He said, bye.
Bo, this is Prisit.
Not even going to try.
I know.
But
with the P, starts with the P.
Yeah, I was about to butcher it, but I don't want to get yelled at. But his departure could be big because he stepped in some big moments during the season and played well. But the thing that Penn State's going to have problems with, to me, with SMU, is that SMU doesn't die easily, and they'll keep battling and hanging around. And if Penn State can't deliver that knockout punch, what happens, Michael, when you let teams hang around?
Yeah.
And you don't put them away.
Yeah.
They're a Hail Mary away from a win.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
And then don't tell me, hey, well, we won. Yeah, okay, that's cool. No, I completely agree. In SMU, they made so many clutch plays against Clemson right there in the fourth quarter, and that's what saved their season. You didn't come back and win. Clemson kicks, though, what, 57-yarder to win the game. But just scoring, I think, 17, wherever it was in the fourth quarter, saved your season. It sent you to the playoff. If you lose that game, you know, by 20 or 24 or whatever it is, you're not going to the playoff. So I'm with you. SMU's quarterback. He is everything that I think Penn State struggles with.
Prabula.
Prabula.
Bo Prabula.
Prabula? No, I think Prabula? It's Prabula.
Prabula.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm glad you tried because I was like,
I was going to call him Pravado.
Yeah.
And that wasn't right.
Listen, Puglisi is a struggle for me. No, but I think SMU's quarterback is everything that you struggle with at Penn State, and it's just one of those
Kevin
things.
Kevin Jennings, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, SMU's quarterback, Kevin Jennings.
Yeah. I think that when you look at what he is – and what Penn State might struggle with, that just seems like a good pairing for SMU. So we'll see what happens. But I've been talking about that one for the last 2 weeks is the one that I'm like, I'm going to really keep my eye on and see how that matches up. Because if Penn State can't handle that well, I think it sets up for Penn State to have, you know, success further than that.
Well, and I look at the Will Howard-ran offense at Ohio State. Look, Michigan's still pretty good up front defensively, and they gave them fits in that game. And I know it's the rivalry game, so there's extra juice. But, hell, you don't think Tennessee's got juice coming into a playoff game? And Tennessee is a pretty good defense. And so I just wonder what Chip Kelly has prepared for this Tennessee defense. Because,
Chip Kelly.
Dude, it's so weird.
It is weird. It's going to be just as weird saying Gus Malzahn's Florida State offense.
Well, you might not have to say that very long because that might not last. I don't know. You know, Norvell's giving money back. So.
I can't believe he did that. I'd be like, no thanks.
I just wonder defensively, like, what this is going to end up being between Tennessee and Ohio State when you have an Ohio State team that has allowed an average of, what, 10.9 points per game? That's the best in the FBS. And then Tennessee, just around 14 points per game allowed. That's tied for fourth in the FBS.
Are you surprised at all that Tennessee is a 7.5-point underdog? Because that's not a big line for
it is a big line, and maybe factoring into which, and I don't do the whole betting thing, you guys know, but being at Ohio State, right?
Yeah, and I think and to your point, it's normally worth 3 points, but I just I haven't seen anything from Ohio State that tells me that they're 8 points better than Tennessee.
So what does that make you want to do if you're putting money on it?
It makes me want to put money on Tennessee, and that's why the line is where it is, because they want you to bet.
I was going to say, it makes me want to put money on Ohio State, because I'm like, okay, they obviously see something I don't. I have taken my lumps with Vegas enough to know that when they see something, it probably means something. It's like, dude, I don't know what to expect, but they seem to see something that I'm obviously not seeing. And you're right, dude. Tennessee's defensive front is as good as there is. Like, you go down the defensive fronts in the SEC and really, you know, probably the country, you get to Tennessee, you're talking about Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and like South Carolina. Like, we're talking about elite defensive fronts with those groups. And so I'll be really curious to see how quickly Ohio State attacks the secondary to see if they can kind of make some hay early on in the game and loosen up what they're trying to do up front.
The Vols are walking into a hostile environment, but it also might be a bit hostile for Coach Ryan Day. You know, we talked about this week with Kirk Herbstreit making those comments that he might get booed by his own home fans. So you have two Big Ten coaches here, and I'm looking at Penn State as well, that could find themselves maybe in sticky situations if they don't come out on top of these playoff victories.
Yeah, I said it after they lost, before and then after they lost to Michigan, I doubled down that I thought Ryan Day needed to win the national title to save his job. It's tough because I think it might be harder to release coaches that are in the playoff if, you know, with it being as late as it is, although it's not unheard of. I just think Ryan Day could be in trouble. When you go ask for the money you ask for in this day and age in college football, and we've seen other programs act like they're the sisters of the poor begging for money on the Twitters and the Instagrams. But when you go ask for that and you get it, and then you lose on the road to the best team you played, and then lose at home to your rival who you've lost
to
like five straight.
It's the Michigan thing.
And or four straight, I should
say. I think the other losses would factor in as well, but it's the loss to Michigan that I think that makes this the whole thing worse, because, again, it's not the Michigan that we've seen even the season prior.
Yeah, and they're hardballless. So, you win or you're in trouble.
I'd be so curious to see who Ohio State would try to go after.
That's the thing.
You're Ohio State, and the money you have and the backing you have, you're going to have your pick of the litter.
You think Chip Kelly would take it?
No.
He's already there. I mean, no.
I think would be my number one pick, Matt Campbell.
I don't think Matt Campbell's taking it.
Zero's talk, dude. Like, they would be able to offer him whatever he wanted.
But don't think this is the first time he's had extra zeros.
I know, but
it's
the first time, I think, in this NIL era where things are changing and he's having to scrap and claw, I think, and it's a different game than it was 5 years ago.
You like to use the phrase, I'm going to push back a little bit. I'm going to push back a little bit because he's always had to scrap and claw. And his whole mantra of how he builds his program is three stars.
That's my point. Now he's going to develop those three stars, and a guy like Brock Purdy is like, bye.
Well, I mean, Rocco Beck decided to stay.
Okay.
And he was apparently offered by multiple SECs.
It's no judgment against anybody that leaves, but I had Brock Purdy when he was still there with Matt Campbell at an Iowa State game, and I just seems like it, like what you said, genuine dude, fight, claw, scratch, and comprise your team of guys that, you know, didn't get the big offers from bigger schools. I'm not disagreeing with Mike either. Zeros do talk.
Well, if they offer me the zeros, I'd go up there and dye my hair for a couple years and make that million.
Ohio State comes to your door and says, we'll pay you whatever you want, and we'll give you however much money you need for your roster.
If we're talking about me, yeah. If we're talking about Matt Campbell, I don't necessarily – I think Matt Campbell, he's also a family guy, and it's very important to him. And he's already making some millions. So – it's not like he's, living in a trailer park coaching in Iowa State.
When we come back here on the morning shift. We will hear from Coach Raheem Morris for the first time since making the change at quarterback. We'll also hear from Kirk Cousins. What was behind those interceptions? That is next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll be right back.